Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, if you will, please. Luke chapter 15, and I need to do a quick work this morning. Luke chapter 15, I want to read some scriptures to you. These scriptures will be a setting for a strong foundation of a revelation that the Lord's going to speak to your life this morning. In Luke chapter 15, there were some parables told by Jesus about the laws and how much he's concerned about the laws. But a lot of time God's children get lost in the fog of what's rightfully theirs and not able to receive what's rightfully theirs. And it's just like it's a parallel to being lost as a sinner. Because once you get in Christ or in the church or in the family of God, there are certain things, a certain inheritance, certain lifestyle, a certain lifestyle, certain blessings, certain promises, certain goodness that God wants you to steward, be a steward of for him in the earthly realm. And if you're not walking in those aspects of stewardship, it grieves the Father that he has provided something for you and you're not enjoying it. Can you understand that? You see, and so I want to give you a few words to get you ready. We had our men fellowship yesterday and some words come up and the Lord brought them back to me earlier this morning. The first word is information. You have to have the right information. If you want to go anywhere, if you want to arrive at the set time, you have to have the right information. And so biblically or spiritually or scripturally or God wisely, the word of God has to come forth with the proper information, the proper truth in order for you to be able to do the next step, comprehension. You cannot comprehend if it's not brought before you. Very important. Information, comprehension. And then thirdly, now come on with me now, application. Application. After the right information, after you and the Holy Spirit have brought to yourself comprehension of what the Father is saying for you, or want to do through you, or do for you, you comprehend that. When you comprehend that, there's certain things that he wants you to do, so you have to make application. When you make those application, there's two words I want to get to you. When you make those application, there's two words I want to use. One is results. I don't know about you, but I want results. I don't want to just go to church and sing about him. I want him to show up. So results, in other words, there's manifestation. And then and only then, the last word I want to give you, you're going to recognize the value. The reason that people don't recognize the value of praise and prayer and the reading of the word and the preaching of the word is they haven't received enough results. But you're not going to receive result. I'm going backwards now. If you don't make application, and you're not going to make application if you don't have comprehension, and you're not going to have comprehension if you don't have information. Call them back to me. Information. Yeah, it become valuable to you once you recognize a manifestation, then it's valuable to you to keep along that same line, drawing from God, because you know God will come through. If you don't know God will come through, just somebody just told you he come through. He came through for Abraham. That's all right. But I need to know that God can come through for me today. So I want to read out of this parable because I have a powerful subject and a powerful word that I'm going to give you, that you can have information, you comprehend it, and go on and have the manifestation. In Luke chapter 15, right in the middle of a story, I want to read some very poignant verses pertaining to what the Lord wants to say to you today. Luke 15, verse 20. He has a son who didn't understand his inheritance and didn't understand what was rightfully his and thought something else was better. And finally came to himself. In verse 20, he arose and came to his what?
Father.
Came to what?
His father.
But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, I want you to think about your Heavenly Father this morning. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Listen very carefully in verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. I want you to underline that. Lord have mercy. You underline that. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And do what? And put a ring on his hand. And in essence, he's saying, put shoes on his feet. 23rd verse, look at it. And bring here, the fattest calf, I mean the best, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. God the Father, you his child. The Father's vision for you is nothing but the best. Oh, Lord. It's on now. It's on. I said, bring the best robe. The Father's vision for his child is nothing but the best. It's been hid from us by religion and tradition, theology, doctrines of men, false prophets. Yes, sir. And I'll get to it in detail how they hid this from us. But he said, bring the best robe. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes, that's my boy. Put shoes on his feet. And go get the best, the fattest calf. This my child. You are, but you're no longer, I'm going to tell you something. You are, but you're no longer just. You are a servant, but you're no longer just a servant. You are a son, or you are a daughter of the living God. And our Heavenly Father has not changed his mind. He still believes that his children should have on the best robe. So may you prepare and let the Holy Ghost repair your mind and heart to the point that you will never again close your eyes to your inheritance from the Father. Don't let nobody close your eyes with some message about a little bit, about limitation. We're going to deal with that today. Don't let nobody close your eyes to the truth that your Father wants you to have the best. Amen. Turn to Luke 16 with me. Oh, Lord. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. Nothing but the best. Talk to somebody next to you. Tell them, nothing but the best. And you know, God spoke to me specifically some years ago. God spoke to me when I was about to sell it for something. Stop selling for what you don't want. Oh, Jesus. I can preach that, Dad. Stop selling for what you don't want. And here's what the Lord told me. This is a prophetical word from the Lord, from heaven, from the mouth of heaven himself. He spoke to me. I was about to sell her for something, and the Lord told me, don't you sell her for less, for I have provided for you to have the best. I heard the voice of the Lord audibly spoke that to me. And that's why I'm kind of out of my mind when people try to make me sell for less and try to tell me I'm too blessed. I have no understanding what they're talking about, because the Lord told me that he wants his children to have the best. That's God's vision for you. God see you with the best. You at Luke 16? Those who sell for the crumbs of life cannot do much for the kingdom in the earth's realm. Those who settle for the crumbs in life cannot do much for the kingdom in the earth's realm. If you can't pay your bills, or if you can't rise up to the goodness of what this world got in a good standard, it's saying that God can't lift you up. Look in this verse. Look at these two verses with me. Luke 16 here, verse 20. And there was a beggar, certain beggar named Lazarus. He represented the church, because he the one who went to heaven, which was laid at the rich man's gate full of soul. In verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now, that could have easily be read, desired a crumb that fell from his table. Because that rich man actually had his table. And that's the way it is now. In the church at large, you see the wrong person at the table. But they tell the church, y'all be quiet now. Y'all just serve God. Don't y'all look at no silver and gold and manifestation of blessing the city and blessing the field. Leave all that alone. Y'all going to heaven. Watch now. And desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from, read this with me. You got to read it, because I got to say something. Read it. Listen to me. You where you are in life, because of what you knew how to desire. You didn't hear me? You where you are in life because of what you knew how to desire. Or what to desire. No, y'all don't believe me. See, I'm going to prove it. See, there is a representation of the church desiring crumbs. That is not the Father's will. The Father's vision for you is nothing but the best. But if you desire crumbs, if you have a crumb mentality, and if you have a crumb revelation from your church, you're going to be nothing but what they call little babies, crumb snatchers. But the Bible says, turn to Psalm 37. I think it's Psalm 37, isn't it? Is it Psalm 37? Verse 4, I believe it is, isn't it? Huh? Come on here. Where my robe at? Where my shoes? Where my ring? I want my stuff, yeah? Where my stuff at? I'm telling you about, stop by your Lord. The Lord already been by here. Delight yourself in the Lord. What he saying? What he saying? You see, here's a statement I heard, Brother Robert. Here's a statement I heard. People not mad with my prosperity or my car or whatever. They're mad with theirs. People not mad about my house. My house ain't bothering nobody, but they're getting mad when they see their house. And the reason it is because they're not desiring big enough. Look at somebody and tell them, my desire will never be the same after today. My desire, tell them, my desire is stepping up today. See, the Father vision for you is nothing but the best. If you desire a crumb, the Father has to deliver. You can't go back on his word. But if you happen to slip in a church where the truth is released, your desire is about to change and promotion is about to come. Somebody shouting here with me. You see me? Boy, I know you're glad you got in this church. Yeah. Glory to God. I see you feeding on that word. Now, your desire, you have to have. I'm going to tell you right now what your desire. Your desire must always be the best. Don't settle for less, for God has provided you to have the best. It might not show up tomorrow, but it's finally going to come. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. Fix your mind this morning. Fix your heart that you're not going to live by the crumb where somebody else left over. No more left over. Come on, let me teach you this morning, a few minutes. Let me press it a little bit. I got to press it a little bit. You're right there in Luke 16, right? And crumbs, I want you to put in your note, leftovers. The church been having leftover funeral home fans, leftover everything. It's leftover everything. Still didn't have some air conditioning. I remember when I first took Mount Zion Baptist Church, we had funeral home van. And in the nightclub, they had air conditioning. Something was wrong. So I called Audrey. Audrey, you with me? Audrey been with me 30 years. So I called Audrey. I said, Audrey, get them fans up out of here. And then I said we were going to borrow $20,000, I believe it was. And Audrey's grandmother, she's gone home to be with the Lord now. She said, Lord, this man talking about $20,000. We needed some air conditioning, man. I know you don't want no fan up here this morning. Fan don't work in this weather, baby. Listen very carefully. God lavish abundance of life have been on the wrong side long enough. God's lavish abundance of life have been on the wrong side long enough. What we see there with that rich man dressed, look how he dressed. Look back at him in the 19th verse. Look at him back in the 19th verse. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And that word sumptuously means he had nothing but the best. He's a sinner. He's the church without begging for the crumb. So here's what the Lord says. The Lord says it's been on the wrong side long enough. And it's time now for a transfer. How many times have you heard the word lavish in the church? They're scared of it. Lavish abundance. That means more, man, more than you can handle. And the church been scared of that word, but it's actually, that's God. God is a lavish God. Look at the oak tree when she spread her mighty wings. That's God, man. Have you seen some of the beautiful colors God put on birds? I've seen some birds got, look, I mean, we think we can make, Eugene is my tailor, but you think we can make some different design? You ought to see God. I've seen birds with gray on their neck and purple come out, look like it's coming out the gray. That's the hand and work of God. God is a lavish God. God don't mind. Listen to me. God don't mind. Listen to me. Please, sir, have mercy. God don't mind you being decked out. Every time you let God bless you, it sing. It, listen to me. Listen, here's a word. Every time you let God bless you and God see you decked out or see you blessed, it send praises to heaven. What? You were saying when you let God bless you, you were saying, thank you, thank you. God said, look at her. Look at her. Get her some more. She know how to praise me. Let her have it. Let her. God looking for somebody this morning. Let her have it. Let him have it. Somebody gonna praise him. Put him first. Look at me. Put him first. Put his wife first. But yes, deck out. Sit down a minute here. Everybody say lavish abundance.
Lavish abundance.
Some of y'all never said that word in your life. First of all, you was mistreated. Most of y'all, most of us black was mistreated. We didn't know how to sit in the front. We had to sit in the back. Come on, let me talk to you a minute. And so you ain't never heard nothing about no lavish. But it been there all the time. It been there no matter what color you are. What side of the track you're from on, the lavish abundance of God. Once a man or woman get anointed, get revelation, knowledge from God, and pass by tradition and religion and the doctrine of men, don't care what nobody say about them, just hear what God is saying. Act on God's word in faith. God give divine results and divine backup and divine supply. Woo, I love it. Listen to me. Here's a word for you. It's going to get strong now. Here's a word. Here's a word. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord. When you seek the Father properly, He will change everything in your life. When you seek the Father properly, He will not change something. He will change everything in your life. Are you hearing me? For instance, look with me quickly. Jeremiah 33:9. Read it, and if you can shout, go ahead and shout. But if you seek the Father properly, He's looking for somebody to display Himself through. He's looking for somebody to advertise to sinners that I'm a good Father. Just look at the night voice. Look at the night voice. Just look at it. If you don't want it, just tear it out. I mean, if you don't want it, just tear it out your Bible if you don't want it. But that's what he said. Now, if you don't want it, just tear it out the Bible. But that's what he said. Father said, when you wear my name, I won't see something. I want to see something that I'll bless you with. It is an honor to God when you let him bless you. Listen, you listening?
Yes,
say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
There are many things the Lord want to bring forth in your life if you let him. Get out of the box. The religious box that you've been in, been holding you back from the goodness of God. Now listen to me. There are many things the Lord wants to bring forth in your life if you let him. Go back to Luke 15, 22. This boy decided he was going to go back home now. And he's going to let the father do what he wanted to do. Hear what the father said. But the father said to his servant, bring forth. Come on, talk to me. Bring forth what? I can't hear you. What kind of robe? The robe that was on sale. When you looking at the cheap rack, you ain't doing God no favor. You got to put pressure on the word of God that God, you said this is what you were going to do. This is what I'm believing you for, so I'm at least going to look at it. I might not be able to buy it now, but I'm going to look at it. So when you go in the store, don't go to the sale rack, everything for sale. Go to the silk and satin, stuff that will lay on your back and you don't even know you got it on. Because the Lord will give you the best if you shop for the best. So what is this all about, flesh? No, no, no. I'll listen to you better if you got yourself fixed up right. God got designer uniform he wants you to wear. And you still can praise him. And nobody yanking out. I got a tailor made, but nobody out yanking out shouting me. I'll shout with you. I'll shout, cry, spit, kick. I'll wallow in this suit. Who? I'll give him praise. I'm not selling for less. God has provided for me to have the best. Ooh, Jesus. That's a word from the Lord. You got it? It's one thing if somebody forced you to go to the back of the bus, but it's another thing if you get on there and go in the back of the bus yourself. I remember when I was 15 years ago, I was about to build my house. The man, I went back down to Toyo Moore one time. The man showed me some land. He took me all the way to the back. And it was sort of raining, you know, me and my wife in the car, and he showed me them lot in the back. Now, I saw these other streets be passed, you know.
Yeah.
So I finally told him, I'm going to call his name. Mr. Lamadola.
Yeah.
I called him. I said, Mr. Lamadola, I've been in the back all my life. I don't want no lot back here. Do you have any other lots? Then he brought me to a lot by a big ditch. I think I began to call him by his first name then. I said, Sonny. He my friend today. I said, He, my friend, did a favor for my brother. My brother built his house. He gave it to brother because he knew me. He said, you the reverend brother, and he was not going to sell it, but he gave it to my brother and my sister-in-law because they were kin to me. He says to me, well, I got a couple lots up the front there. Now I'm broke. I don't have a quarter. It's raining. I just left church, bro. He said, I have these two lots. I walked around like I was a millionaire. I walked around that lot. I look at the lot and I kind of walked, stride a little bit. And I saw the white neighbor running from my window, checking to see. She had a big long coat on. She was running to one window. She my neighbor now. She peeped out the other window. I look at him. The Lord had spoke to me, you know. I look at him and says, you know, we're looking at one lot. I said, I'll take them both. And what, honey, you got to excuse me this morning. But what I like about my wife was just as crazy as I was. She'll go for it, but she said, that's right, we'll get it. The Lord honored us, boy. I'm telling you, she'd go with me, boy. And so I just said, we'll take them. We ain't had a quarter. But when it got time to pay for the lot, the money was there. See, you don't, what I'm trying to tell you, all you need is the revelation that the vision of the Father is for you is nothing but the best, and act like it and watch what happened to you. Sit down. Let me teach you a little more. I got a few more minutes. Let me teach you a little more. And you must understand, God can't do it for you unless you volunteer to let him do it. When that boy got there, that boy came home, he said, get the best role. Had it for him all the time. But he got to position yourself that God can do it for you. You got me? You with me? Okay, get better. Now, here's Aaron, and I'm not going to deal with this long. The goodness of God, what I say?
The goodness of God
has been smothered by religion, tradition, ignorance, and error. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let me show you that. The goodness of God, I want you to get this, class. The goodness of God, every wrong revelation you got of God, smother his goodness. Every religious spirit that have got a hold of you through wrong doctrine, smother the goodness of God. Our God is a good God. How many of y'all got a good God? Our God is a good God. Ooh, Jesus. God is a good God. People of God, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I'm a prophet born out of due time. God is a good God. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He will not withhold no good thing from them who walk uprightly. Got a whole lot of folks up here walking right, boy. Look, we got a whole lot of folks up in this church walking uprightly. Got a whole lot of folks up in this church living holy. And you are, if you living holy, the goodness of God belong to you. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Wave your hand in the air if you feel a blessing getting close to you. All right, come on, sit down. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to make this statement. The goodness of God, listen to me, Leroy, has been smothered by religion, by tradition, by ignorance, and by error, E-R-R-O-R, error. We have not mocked God as a good God. We have not mocked him as a good father who wants you to have the best. But the Bible consistently tells us that he's a good God. And those who serve him, he places them at the top. The 11th verse of that 7th chapter of Matthew says, if you then being evil know how to give good gift unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good thing to them that ask him? You've been asking for the wrong thing. You've been asking according to religion and according to what they say. No, you got to ask according to the Bible. See what the Bible says. Act like the Bible. Ask for what the Bible says you can have. Well, it'll be sad. You get to heaven and the Lord say, hey, that's what you could have had. And the Lord wouldn't say that, but I'm going to say it. That's what you could have had with your crazy self. You down there and you... You down there trying to be spiritual, constantly riding a ferry, and you could have had your own boat. It'd get better. That'd get better. Look back with me in Luke 15 again. I'm almost through. Lord have mercy. All right. That's 15:22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the what? And do what with it? Put it on. And do what? What? Verse 23. Now listen, if you don't want to hear this, you need to leave now. Because you're going to be held responsible when I show you this. I'm about to show you four or five things that are going to hold you accountable, and you have no more excuse for not being blessed. Listen to me carefully. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I receive. Listen to me carefully. In Luke chapter 15, now, I actually want to ask you to do one of the most asinine things you may have ever done in your life. But I'm going to ask you to slap yourself after we read this verse. You determine how hard you're going to hit yourself, right? Because if I was to slap you, I'd probably knock you out. And I'm saying this is the way the Lord used me. I'm saying this to emphasize the point in which the Father's vision for you is nothing but the best. Wow. Now, here's what has to happen. You must take up on the Father's vision yourself. You must desire the same thing that the Father desired for you. Because he cannot get it to you unless he find you agreeing with him here in the earth's realm. It give him a right to profusely bless you. The word opulence have not been in the church. Some of y'all still don't know what it means. What is hopalot? Go look it up. O-P-U-L-E-N-C-E. Then slap yourself a second time. You about to slap yourself right now, though. Wait a minute. I ain't forgot about the slap. When I read this verse, by moving the spirit, I want you to slap yourself. You've never been asked this in church. Verse 29, 231. He had an older son. He answered and said to his father, Lord, these many years, many years, many years, many years, many years, you've been serving him. Many years do I serve thee. Neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. I've been keeping your word all these years. Yet thou givest me, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living, get ready to slap yourself with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. Verse 31 is a slapping verse. If you're not where you are, was supposed to be. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all, come on, that I have is thine. Underline in your Bible, all, get that in your spirit, let that drop in your spirit, all that I have is thine. Come on, talk to me. All that I have is thine. Come on, talk to me. All that I have is thine. Slap yourself again, slap yourself again. Do we have? No, how much do the Father have? The boy there, Harry, where it is, been serving him for many years, but didn't know he could have the fattest calf. Didn't know he can wear the best robe. Didn't know there was a ring with his name on it. Didn't know that has certain shoes was tailor-made for him. You see, my brothers and my sisters, my tailor don't only make my suit, he make my shoe. I'm advertising for him, but he's going to get my collection after we leave here. Brown and brown. I'm going to send him around the world now, brown and brown. But he better not make nobody's suit with the same material he make mine with, because I'm going to come back and just like I advertise for him and say, don't go to brown and brown. You see it, Wilbert? You with me? The Father wants you to have the best, son. Nothing wrong. Religious folk don't understand that. They all damnable. They think God wants us to wear a black scarf on our head. No, put that red dress on. Shit. But I saw the funny thing the other night. I was in South Carolina, and the boy who come to my door was a white boy, a big white boy. And he'd been around Carlos, you know. He was a big white boy. He had red shoes on, a red necktie, and a red shirt. I got in the car and said, boy, you wearing them red shoes? Yes, sir, I'm wearing them. Yes, sir. Luke 12, 32. Come on, let's go. That clock give me, what is it, an hour, 45 minutes. That's an hour, wasn't it? Oh, man, I got to close. What time is it, Leroy? 10:30, 11:30? Got a few minutes now. Bring it. What you, boy, what? Boy, you better, boy, boy, don't you be messing with me talking about bring, what? Bring it. That's my name, son. Bring it. Bring it. Boy, you be messing with me up in here. I'm about to bring it. Well, that's what I come here to do, to bring it, Joyce. Luke 12, 32, quickly. Luke 12, 32. Fear not. Don't let the price fool you. Don't let it fool you. Don't let nothing fool you. Fear not. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if he's pleasurable about giving me the kingdom, that means this little Mickey Mouse world, he'll give me anything here. Because there's nothing in his world more valuable than the kingdom. If he can give me the kingdom, he can give me anything else. Talk to me here. Come on, come on, talk to me, talk to me. Because you're about to get deeper. James chapter 1, verse 17. Talk to me here. James, see, somebody know the word. When I say it, they're hollering already. James 1, 17. Talk to me up in here. Woo! Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom he hadn't changed his mind. No variance, neither shadow of turning. I don't care how much religion talk against it. I don't care how much denomination talk against it. I don't care how much tradition talk about it. I don't care who get on television and blast it. The Lord said, I haven't changed my mind. I want to give good and perfect gift to everybody who believe me. Shout, for the Lord have given you the victory. Shout, because your mediocre days are over. Shout, for the Bible said the day will come where the last will be, the first will be last, and the last will be first. It's the church day. It's time for the church who've been last to come up in first place. Shout, for the Lord have given us the victory. Turn to 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians now. I want to show you something else. Quickly, I'm going over a little bit today. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse. Oh, Lord. 21. Verse 21, look at it. Therefore, let no man glory in man. What did he say? For all things are who? Yours. Look at it, verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. Look what he say. I'll close with this. God is the God of increase. I'm going to make two prophetical statements, essay, over you all today. I see you made it, girl. I'm so glad for you. That's your husband? You got a nice looking man there. You blessed, girl. You're blessed. That's my friend. That's my friend. I'm going to make two prophetical statements over y'all today. Yes, sir. Shucks. Yes, sir. Time for us to have this stuff, John. And the Lord, I feel a vibration in you, boy. There's a frequency loose up in you. I mean, y'all getting a hold of this stuff, right? I'm about to speak something over you. You ready for it? He said, speak it. What'd you say? Transpiring in this service today, Carolyn. I speak a divine transference from leftover to lavish abundance. Every shorthanded thing you receive in your life, today, I'm speaking God's lavish abundance on you today. Everything that you receive was a leftover, gonna leave you, and it's gonna be transferred into lavish abundance. Can you receive that? The second thing I'm going to speak, and I got to close, the second thing I'm going to speak, and because of unfamiliarity with this territory, I got to break it down. Because the Holy Ghost talked to me. I said the Holy Ghost talked to me. It's wonderful when the Holy Ghost talked to you. For I'm about to say something, but I have to explain it. This word, I wish I'd have brought you a dictionary definition of opulence. Because it's not a church word, opulence, but it means supreme best. It means the supreme best, opulence. Say it, opulence.
Opulence.
It means the supreme best. That's my definition of the supreme best. And I'm about to, the Lord told me to do something. Here's what's going to happen to you. Now, I tell you, divine transference from leftovers to lavish abundance, right?
Yes.
Now, we're going to have a transformation here now. This is where the Holy Ghost gave it to me. I'm speaking over you a divine financial transformation from outside to opulence. You've been left out. You see what I'm saying? But today, as your man of God, everything you've been left out of, the Lord says, speak a transformation over my people. Tell them I'm bringing them from the outside, but I'm bringing them into opulence. My supreme best. Every household, every family, every man, every woman, every baby in the nurse, every child in the children's church, I speak opulence on their life. And I speak divine abundance on you the rest of your day. Give the Lord a great shout. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Come on. Give the Lord a great shout. Come on. Believe the Lord thy God, you'll be established. Believe his prophet, you shall prosper. I spoke a powerful word to you today. Straight from heaven. Don't let nobody steal it from you. The Father's vision for you. Through Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is nothing but the best. Opulence mean wealth, riches, abundance, as a resources, a good, plenty, and affluent. Everybody stand, please. Everybody in the house stand. Reverently before God, I want you to bow your head and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And don't fight God at all. Yield to him. No talking, no walking. Just yield yourself to God right now. Just yield yourself to God. Go right ahead, sir. Yield yourself to God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I receive. Yield yourself to God. You heard me preach. You heard the word. You heard the goodness of God.